What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Well, I'm getting my feed sent back to me again. Oh, there it is. We're fixed now. All right. Now we've got the technical gremlins taken care of. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, July 31st, 2018. Last day of the month. Tomorrow is the 1st of August, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room dealing with all of our technical gremlins, and let's just get right on into it here. Over in Syria, I think it's safe to say it's all pretty much over, but the shouting there. Damascus is literally a step away from liberating the entirety of southern Syria, right up to that Golan buffer zone. And, you know, Israel's still out there saying, don't you dare come one step further. Don't you take one step further. We're ready for you. And they're advancing into the Armuk Valley. The problem there, there's an unknown number of ISIS fighters and ISIS-linked individuals who are hiding among the civilians in the recently liberated areas. And without intense security measures, these persons would be a source of constant threat of terrorist attacks. So there's a little bit of mopping up to do, but this one's pretty much over. And the United States did not get what they wanted. So I think this counts as a defeat, but of course the U.S. will never admit it. In fact, there's an article over at Zero Hedge saying that right now the U.S. is looking for an exit strategy. They're looking to make a face-saving exit from Syria, and they're going to make up some kind of thing. Well, you know, we dealt with that stampede of woolly mammoths in Syria, and now can we go home? Or we chased those space aliens back into space from Syria, and now we can go home. And some other thing that makes it look like victory, but it really isn't. And that is probably going to destroy much of the momentum of the war machine. Although apparently SecDef Mattis is out there saying that the U.S. forces in Syria are going to start conducting joint patrols with Turkey, another country that is in Syria without permission or legal grounds to be there. And so Mattis says they're going to start conducting joint patrols on somebody else's property, like it's their divine right to do that. And he's saying this is an exercise that's going to go for, maybe 4-6 weeks, not months. But it's very obvious that Mattis and Erdogan do not recognize Syrian territorial integrity. And, of course, the real issue is what's going to happen when they run into Syrian or Russian forces. Now, the Russians appear to be working to avoid a direct confrontation with the United States. And apparently Russia's ambassador Anatoly Viktorov was being interviewed on Israel's Channel 10 News and said Russia cannot force Iran to withdraw its military from Syria no matter how many times Israel demands that they do it. And Iran says they will not leave unless Syria tells them to. And Russia tried to come up with a compromise where Iranian forces would stay 100 kilometers from the buffer zone, but Israel rejected that as well. Their attitude is, we want them gone completely. Do it, do it, do it, or we'll throw a tantrum. We'll use the H word on you. And Viktorov told the reporters that Iran's military presence in Syria is fully legitimate, according to UN principles and the UN charter. He then made an interesting comment saying that Russia is not okay with Israeli attacks on Syria, but it wasn't up to Russia to prevent them. So Russia is basically standing back from Israel because Putin knows if they go head-to-head with Israel, that means going head-to-head with the United States. And even though in all probability Russia would win that, everybody would really lose in the long run. So now the U.S. is complaining about Russian jamming posing a growing threat to the U.S. troops in Syria. And apparently American troops deployed in Syria illegally are facing the same kind of electronic countermeasures that the crew of the USS Donald Cook did up in the Black Sea. Electronic attacks that is paralyzing all their whiz-bang high-tech equipment. And they're complaining, are the Russians allowed to do that? I didn't think they were allowed to do that. And the U.S. is trying to put a good face on it, saying, well, it allows us to study what Russia is doing and develop countermeasures, which is definitely part of electronic warfare. Every time you use a new device or weapon, you're giving away information about how it works to the enemy. Now, interestingly enough, up in Afghanistan, apparently U.S. diplomats have had secret meetings with Taliban without involving the Afghan government. And for basically over a decade, the Taliban have refused to negotiate with the Afghan government, who they view as a puppet regime controlled by Washington. Gee, you think? And they have instead sought to speak directly with the United States without Kabul's mediation. So apparently back in 2015, the United States sought to initiate peace talks with the Taliban in the Qatari capital, Doha. But apparently the effort collapsed after the Afghan government denounced it and demanded a seat at the table. And the negotiation process has been kind of dormant ever since. So it's kind of a three-way issue. The puppet rulers don't want to stop being puppet rulers. The Taliban want the puppet rulers out. The U.S. is basically trying to play both sides. Afghanistan is our longest-running war, second only to the Korean War. And if you count the Korean War up until the armistice, Afghanistan wins hands down. 17 going on 18 years. All right, we're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Over in Iran, Rouhani's aide responded to Donald Trump's tweet that he was ready to meet with Rouhani by saying the U.S. must first return to the nuclear deal. Then Tehran will talk. And this advisor to Rouhani said, it's the key. That's got to happen first. Respecting the Iranian nation's right, reducing hostilities, and returning to the nuclear deal are steps that can be taken to pave the bumpy road of talks between Iran and the United States. Now, others in the government of Iran are saying it really is ultimately impossible to engage with the current U.S. government because of this fiercely hostile policy toward the Islamic Republic. And that's out there for everybody to see. The hostility toward Iran has been broadcast far and wide from U.S. political figures, going all the way back to John McCain dancing on the stage and singing Bomb, Bomb, Iran. So it's kind of hard to establish any kind of a rapport leading to trust with that kind of attitude. This is coming from the foreign ministry spokesman, Bahram Kassami, said this basically yesterday. Now, remember last week, Australian media was saying the U.S. was preparing a military action against Iran. It was denounced as fake news and a fiction. Then yesterday, we were starting to get it from the U.S. corporate media, and today it's in CNN, U.S. examining military action against Iran. So, more wars, more money for the military-industrial complex. Over in Yemen, there's a lot of heavy fighting south of Hodeidah. Now, Hodeidah is key. It's that port city. The Houthis are trying to turn it over to the United Nations. And Saudi-linked Yemenites are saying, no, the Houthis have to surrender completely the entire country before they'll let that happen. And a lot of people are getting killed. A lot of civilians, a lot of non-combatants. This has been a very, very, very bloody war. And all of it was just about who was going to control the region. Some years back, the United States pulled off what they termed a successful intervention, and they regime changed Yemen, and they put in a puppet government. And the people of Yemen didn't like living under a puppet government, so they threw them out. And so the U.S. went to Saudi Arabia and said, you got to help us slap down Yemen so they accept their puppet rulers. Because nobody breaks free of the American empire. And that's what this war is really all about. Trying to force the people of Yemen to accept a foreign serving government. You got to admire the courage of the Yemenites. They're fighting back and they're holding their own against Saudi Arabia. Now, apparently, Poroshenko over in Ukraine is in trouble politically. Western leaders are starting to realize he can't pull off the job of, first of all, pulling all of Ukraine back together, let alone regaining Crimea. And leaders of Western countries are saying some very unflattering things to the current Ukrainian leadership. And Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said that when Western or European counterparts communicate with the leaders of today's Ukraine behind closed doors, you know, they're trying to provoke some kind of a reaction. Basically, what's happening is the U.S. government is experiencing buyer's remorse. They bought the new Ukraine. They supported that coup d'etat that kicked out Yanukovych. They put in President Chocolate, and they thought all was going to be well, one step closer to containment of that evil Russia who's aggressing against everybody. And they've stumbled rather badly. So that is turning out to be a mess here. Down in Nicaragua, their leader, Daniel Ortega, says he has proof the United States is financing the ongoing violence in his country through organizations like the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID. This is not the first time they've been accused of it. Russia's already kicked USAID out of Russia for trying to fund and agitate the opposition. Ortega then went along to say, we are facing a powerful enemy who has carried out an armed invasion of Nicaragua several times and continues to interfere in Nicaragua's affairs. Now, you remember all the way back in the 1980s that CIA gun and drug running operation out of Arkansas was going into Nicaragua to arm the Contras against the Sandinistas. Again, kicking out the democratically elected government, putting in puppet rulers. And it continues to this day. And it is a mess here. Over in Israel, we reported this briefly yesterday, but one of the vessels belonging to the Freedom Flotilla activist group was hijacked by Israeli forces in international waters after having been threatened via radio. The boat was en route to Gaza with 22 people from 16 nations on board and carrying a cargo of $15,000 worth of medical supplies. The Israeli Defense Forces confirmed the interception of the vessel, saying it violated the blockade of Gaza. And the IDF added that the boat is now being towed to the port of Ashdod, and all the supplies can only be delivered through it. Now, reports from the organization itself are saying there was violence, that the crew of the Freedom Flotilla ship were tasered. They were hit with tear gas. They were flat out beaten. And one of the passengers on the Al Awda ship was Joe Meador, who was a survivor of Israel's attack on the USS Liberty. So they're all apparently in Israeli custody and being held incommunicado. Only two of the passengers have been released, and the rest are being held in Gibeon prison in Israel. Now, one of those released, Zohar Chamberlain Regev, who's an Israeli citizen, contested the Israeli Defense Force statement the ship had been captured without exceptional incident. And Zohar said people on board were tasered and hit by masked IOF soldiers. We did not get our passports or belongings before we got off the boat. Do not believe the reports of peaceful interception. And apparently she saw blood on the deck of the Al Awda as the last participants were being dragged off the ship. So she and one other Israeli passenger, Yonatan Shapira, were charged with attempting to enter Gaza and conspiracy for before being released here. So, again, it's another PR nightmare. Now, Palestinian activists are saying the seizure of the aid ship can't contain the Palestine movement. Everybody who sails on those flotillas knows they're going to be intercepted. But it makes headlines around the world and reminds everybody of Israel's brutal blockade against the people of Gaza. And that's the whole point. And that's why they need our support. Now, this ship, the Al Auda, and was flying under the Norwegian flag. So the organizers are demanding the government of Norway intercede with Israel to say, we demand the return of our people and we demand the return of our property. First and foremost, because Israel seized the ship 70 miles out at sea in international waters. The ship had not broken the Gaza blockade, which Israel now has set at 3 miles. That's now considered Gaza's territorial fishing waters, just 3 miles out. And as I mentioned yesterday, when you board another vessel without permission in international waters, that is piracy. So Israel needs to basically get itself a pirate flag as its new national flag. You know, take down that Star of David, put up the skull and crossbones. Now, Israel's behavior is beginning to draw criticism even within Israel itself. And they're talking, first of all, about the treatment of the Freedom Flotilla, the treatment of Ahed Tamimi, the nation-state law. A lot of people are saying that was a huge mistake. Israel's largest newspaper is saying Israel has just declared itself an apartheid state. And they're sharply critical. This is not meeting with approval, even within Israel itself, even within the Israeli media. And this article is basically calling on Netanyahu's opposition, headed currently by Tzipi Livni, to unite and present the public with a strong, simple message of equality. Hopefully that's going to happen. Now, Israel continues to justify everything it's doing on the basis of self-defense against Gaza. Oh, poor Israel, poor Israel. We only have tanks and body armor and machine gun, nuclear weapons, and we're just terrified by these flaming balloons and flaming kites. But in fact, under international law, Israel cannot claim a right to use any force in Gaza, whether moderate or excessive, because, you know, Gaza isn't the invading force. I mean, Israel goes into Gaza all the time. The border is very porous for Israelis. They go in and out of Gaza all the time. So it's not like there's an armed border in any kind of a confrontation, in any kind of a war. It's just more Israeli bovine excrement fed to you by America's corporate media. And like I said, I think that Bloody Monday massacre was basically the turning point, Israel's equivalent of the Amritsar massacre. Now, getting on back to Ahed Tamimi and her family, this has turned into another PR disaster for Israel. When the Israeli soldiers came to the Tamimi home and assaulted her family, damaged the property, she stood up to a soldier, fully armed soldier, and she slapped him. It was caught on video, and it went viral around the world. And Israel, rather than backing down, because Israel never backs down, they threw her in prison for 8 months, and they turned her into an international icon. And Tamimi is being compared to female heroes like Joan of Arc and Anne Frank, Rosa Parks, Hannah Sinz, and she's being championed by American celebrities like Sarah Silverman, Alice Walker, Danny Glover, and Rosario Dawson. They made a real mess of this. We'll be right back. Oh,
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And I'm looking at this article from Electronic Intifada. And it's telling a story about this gentleman, Fadel Abu al-Khumsan, who has survived two attacks over the last 4 years. Back in August of 2014, Israel bombed his home in the Jabalaya refugee camp of northern Gaza. Two of his nieces and his brother-in-law were killed. Now, earlier this year, Fadel joined the Great March of Return and was shot by an Israeli sniper while he was 700 meters from the boundary fence. Now, Israel's claim is that you're not to come within 100 meters, then you become a target. But this guy was shot 700 meters away. Over in China, tensions are still a little unsettled there over this one China, two China issue. Now, Trump's come on out and tweeted he supports the one China policy. But China is still very concerned over the fact that the U.S. maintains a de facto embassy in Taiwan and that Trump is considering stationing Marines there. Because from China's point of view, if you have an embassy in Taiwan, you're recognizing Taiwan as a sovereign, independent nation. Well, Xi Jinping you know, enough pressure. You know, Trump is used to moving embassies around, so I don't think you really have all that much to worry about. Anyway, now over in Korea, top generals from both North and South Korea are going to meet, well, actually met today in the truce village of Panmunjom on basically details on how to reduce military tensions along the demilitarized zone. And the agreement to ease tensions was reached during a previous summit, following which North Korea began to withdraw their artillery that they had stationed along the DMZ, which could reach Seoul. They got a lot of guns over there in North Korea. And so they're really working on ratcheting down the tension. I still think, you know, I would bet a jar of kimchi that Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in are looking at eventual reunification, after which Kim Jong-un won't have to worry about U.S. invasion. U.S. wouldn't have a reasonable justification to invade. But it looks like those who want war in Korea are still trying to stir the pot, because over at the Washington Compost, and citing a single anonymous U.S. official, they've come out with a claim North Korea might be building new ICBMs. They might be building them. And they're claiming to have satellite photos suggesting work is underway at North Korea's Sanumdong research site. This was a site linked to past missiles. So naturally, they concluded the factory might be building one or two new ICBMs. Of course, there's no direct evidence North Korea is doing this. In fact, North Korea dismantled a test launching site for liquid-fueled ICBMs days ago. Now, North Korea does have its own space launch capability. Maybe they're getting ready to put up a new weather satellite. Nobody really knows. They even admit in the article, there's no actual evidence, but you should be worried. You should be thinking, North Korea, ICBM, North Korea, ICBM. The United States Military's Africa Command, I thought they called it AFRICOM, but Africa Command has a very Nazi ring to it, has confirmed that its forces are deploying armed drones in Niger. Now, the West African country's government granted American forces permission in November of last year to arm their drones, but neither side had previously confirmed their deployment. And so now the U.S. Africa Command has armed intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance aircraft in Niger to improve our combined ability to respond to threats and other security issues in the region. Currently, the drones are deployed to Niger's Air Base 101 in the capital, and said it's part of the long-term strategic partnership between the two countries to counter armed groups in the region. Now, here's an interesting little article came out of Russia today, and they're poking fun at The Economist, because The Economist came out with this article basically saying that polygamy is responsible for these civil wars in Asia, rather the Middle East and Africa. It's all the fault of having too many wives. Now, that really is silly. The reason there are so many of these wars all over Africa and the Middle East is the U.S. is playing with other people's countries again. And that's really what's going on. But The Economist wants you to think, oh, no. Everything, it would all be peaceful if we could just get those Middle Easterners and those Africans to have just one wife the way we do. We've got to force them to live the way we do. We're going to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Now, as you know, Donald Trump has been talking up the creation of a space force. Basically, it's a rehash of Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative, otherwise known as Star Wars. And Congress seemed rather cool on the idea. After all, the last time we went through this, spent huge amounts of money and accomplished almost nothing, except scaring the Soviet Union to accelerate their spending and push it over the edge into collapse. But the defense budget for next year doesn't have an item for the Space Force. However, the Pentagon is already starting to set up the command structure. They're going to have a new combatant command, a new space procurement agency. That would be fun to work for. And a new space operations force. So they're getting ready. They know the money's going to be there somewhere at some point. Meanwhile, apparently lawmakers are asking Mattis if our U.S. troops are ready for Arctic warfare. I guess they're getting tired of thrashing around in all that desert country here. So they want Mattis to submit a report to Congress on whether the U.S. military services have the equipment and training they need to survive in cold weather combat. And the proposal appeared in the House Armed Services Committee's latest version of the John S. McCain National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2019. And they're saying they want the report not later than 180 days after the enactment of the act on current cold weather capabilities. I don't think they need to worry. According to Al Gore, the Arctic is ice-free and snow is a thing of the past. On a more serious note, where are they planning on invading next? Antarctica? Actually, I know what they're thinking. There's going to be a war at the top of the world because they're starting to realize there's a lot of untapped oil down on the abyssal plains underneath the North Pole. And deep drilling rigs like the Deepwater Horizon are being developed to be able to reach it. And that's going to be the next fight. Now, common sense would say that those nations that are bordering the Arctic Sea, you just get their maximum and minimum longitudes, and you draw a line from that to the North Pole, cuts out a little pie slice shape, and that's their territorial waters. Or you could go by the International Convention and say it's all international waters except for strips 12 miles along each coast. But apparently the U.S. is already starting to try and take the position of we're going to control the Arctic Ocean and we're going to suck out all that oil. And, of course, there are other countries that are not very cool with that, like Russia and China. And Canada's not too happy either because they're concerned they could get caught in the crossfire. So that's what this sudden focus on Arctic fighting is all about, is war way up there in the far, far north. Turning to domestic politics here, we're still seeing the fallout from the FISA application for Carter Page. It does reveal FBI collusion. More and more people who've actually read the unredacted report, they're dropping hints and saying that if the full report comes out, when the full report comes out, that it will be a shocker. And basically what we have already proves the bulk of the information that formed the basis for the FISA warrant applications was the Christopher Steele dossier of allegations about Donald Trump's activities in Russia. Now, the document was provided to the FBI by Christopher Steele. Actually, it was handed to the FBI by John McCain, who got it from Christopher Steele. Steele was hired during the 2016 presidential campaign by opposition research firm Fusion GPS, who was paid by Hillary Clinton's law firm Perkins Cole, who was paid by the Clinton campaign and the DNC. The allegations were scandalous and totally unverified, in violation of federal statutes and FISA court rules. In other words, the FBI just used opposition research, lies, paid for by the Democrats, as justification for government agencies spying on political opponents and other Americans. In another incredible coincidence, Fusion GPS had hired scholar and professor Nellie Orr as a paid Russian expert. Nellie Orr happens to be married to Bruce Orr, the deputy attorney general in the Justice Department at the time. And Bruce Orr is alleged to have passed his wife's anti-Trump research to the FBI. Now, he was demoted for failing to disclose not only his wife's employment with Fusion GPS, but also his own meetings with Fusion GPS founder Glenn Simpson. This is all starting to come on out. The FISA court was never told any of this. They were never supposed to know. None of us were ever supposed to know this. The idea was that Hillary Clinton was going to win and there would be no investigations. None of this would ever come out. That's why they hate Trump so much. Because without control of the White House, the machinery of Congress is starting to grind through and they're starting to hit pay dirt. So we have all these different scandals, the FISA court scandal, the DNC emails that proved the DNC stole the nomination from Bernie Sanders. We know the corporate media was assisting Hillary Clinton as much as they could. Hillary Clinton's private email server. It just goes on and on. But we were never supposed to know any of this. They were convinced Hillary Clinton was going to steal that White House, and now they're in a panic. Let's take a phone call here from Keith in Montana. Aloha, Keith. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Mike, I had a different idea about this so-called Arctic and this cold weather thing. You know, in watching old war reels, I can still recall Germany as they rolled across Russia, traveling for days and getting locked down in embittered cold like that and losing, being frozen to death, that yes. The war on the Russian front would be more of a scenario that I would envision.
It's entirely possible, but I think if it comes to war with
it's
Russia,
a given, though.
I think they're going to go right to the missiles.
Yeah, well, like you're right, but you know, it'll start out as a ground warrior. But like I say, when you got the, if you look up the Pentagon figures of the sedated soldiers and how many billions of dollars with the SSRIs and stuff, you don't have a fighting force today. You're right; it would go nuclear at some point. But it would start off as a ground war because no invasion ever. I'm just going to say like that. You can't win a war from the air. It has to be a ground force. And so once a ground force starts losing, you know, boom. But I just thought I'd throw that in there with your humor with Al Gore.
All right. Anything else?
No, you and Claire have a good one over there, okay?
All right. Thanks. And we look forward to your broadcast over the weekend here on RBN.
All right. Sounds great. Have a good one.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Yeah, that's Keith Rogers. He's a fellow host here on RBN. Longtime caller, longtime supporter of What Really Happened. He could well be right. The thinking may be a ground war against Russia, and they would want to avoid the mistakes made by both Napoleon and Hitler. I think it'd be a mistake. I think we're going to lose this one. I mean, those Russian winters are what defeated Napoleon and pretty much defeated the Nazis. By the time the United States actually came into World War II, the Nazis were already in retreat. They had lost Africa. They had to pull back from Russia. Hitler basically wanted to sue for peace and just keep everything where it was, where Germany still had Paris and so forth. But the war machine ground on. Now, here's an interesting little article. This came out of the New York Post talking about Trump's demise has been greatly exaggerated. And they're basically going over the last year and a half of Trump's time in office and pointing out how the corporate media has basically made a cottage industry out of writing Trump is doomed stories. And apparently it's one of the media's favorite stories. And apparently the corporate media think that if they cheer loudly enough for Trump to get 86th, it'll happen. Now, Trump's first term in office is more than a third over. And very serious corporate media pundits, prostitutes, and correspondents have been ushering him out of the door for the entire time, or at least trying to. And it turns out Trump doesn't pay a lot of attention to the usher pundits, nor should he. They're an annoyance at best. They don't have the means to actually get him out. They're just trying to get the American public used to that idea. When the Democrats find a way to get him out of office. Oh, yes, we knew this was coming. You know, Trump was with the Playmate and Trump was with, what's her name, Stormy Daniels. And, oh, yeah, I've been hearing on the media he did all of these things. And so, yeah, I guess it's okay that we've suffered a coup d'etat in the United States of America. So apparently back in on April 14th, The New Yorker ran a story, Michael Cohen, in the end stage of the Trump presidency. That's typical. They just want to keep that idea out there. Okay, we're going to take another phone call here. Mark in North Carolina, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike? Mike, you know, last night I was flipping the channels and I have Showtime temporarily, and I saw and I turn on a Sum of All Fears movie, Tom Clancy movie. I'd seen the movie years ago, but at the time I didn't really think much of it then because, you know, we weren't at this kind of a crossroads with Russia that we are now. And wow, that was one scary movie when you really think about it. Because, you know, have you ever seen a movie?
Oh, yeah, I've seen the movie, and I've read the original book, too. In the original book, the enemy isn't Russia. It's somebody in the Middle East.
Okay. But anyway, I think the idea of making Russia the enemy was they weren't really enemy. It was some European Nazis that were actually trying to get the United States and Russia to destroy each other. But, you know, when you really think about it, when you think about a possible false flag, when you think about the possibility that our own illustrious government, which I really don't think is our government. I think they're a globalist cartel, could light up one of our cities with a nuclear bomb, blame it on Russia, or they could bomb a Russian city and blame it on us. You know, anything like this could happen, and look out. And it wouldn't even have to be that serious. It wouldn't have to necessarily be a nuclear bomb. That was really excellent. I mean, the acting was pretty good, too, I thought. And
it's a good little movie. It doesn't come up to the book. I mean, if you look at Tom Clancy's original books before he started using co-writers and ghostwriters, they're very, very thick and they're very hard to translate to the screen. They're so abbreviated. In this case, I would say go read the original books. And right now, I would recommend reading Red Storm Rising. It's a lot of good techno thriller information in there about a possible conflict between the United States and Russia.
People better get it through their heads. We think we could defeat Russia in a land war on the borders of Russia. They've got to be crazy with the people, type of people we're getting in the military today. And like I said, they would have a hard time getting anybody into the military. There'd be no morale for that. The Russians have all the morale. They've been attacked.
Yep.
They know what it is to lose almost 30 million people, Russians, in World War II. They promised the next war will not be fought on Russian soil. And I believe they're going to back up that promise. They may not spend the kind of money that we spend on our so-called defense budget, really police the world, but they don't need it because they're basically interested in defending themselves. And they start a war with the boy, you're going to have a tiger. I mean, even if it's not nuclear, if it's conventional, I think if they wanted to, they could probably roll through Europe in a matter of days. But, you know, the question is, would that be allowed, or would it then turn into nuclear or not? And once it turns into
I don't think Russia is interested in rolling through Europe. As you said, the reason they spend so much less than the Pentagon is they're not out there trying to conquer the world like the United States. They just want to defend their home and their allies. And that's basically it. Putin's got enough to deal with in Russia. He doesn't need to take on Europe's problems. Europe is hovering on bankruptcy. It's decaying. It's struggling under this open border situation. Europe is not a prize worth the effort to conquer. It's the same with the United States.
What they would probably do is destroy the NATO armies on their borders and then get a buffer zone part of Poland and a couple other countries to make sure that they don't have this kind of stuff on their borders again. Because that's one of the reasons why I watch these on the History Channel or the, whatever it's called, the American Hero Channel, when they show Operation Barbarossa, when Stalin, you know, when it hit the corner. And one of the reasons Stalin I don't think Stalin was as dedicated to communists as people think he was. I think he was more of a Russian nationalist. Or Soviet nationalist, because he was from Georgia, actually. He wanted a buffer zone right there. He didn't want an unfriendly country on his border. That's why he, you know, with Poland and all, and Romania and all those other countries. That's traditionally Russia. I mean, they do not want this. They don't want this kind of a threat. And we keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. One of these days, look out. You know, these madmen that run this country right now, these neocons, they don't know it. If they know history, it's a perverted sense of history.
They're looking at, you know, actions speak louder than words. I mean, when the Soviet Union finished coming apart, NATO and the United States made an agreement with Mikhail Gorbachev that NATO's would not extend any further east than it was its border at the time, which was the border of Germany, and immediately broke the promise, started grabbing more and more countries into NATO, moving closer and closer to Russia. Russia's looking at that and realizing, first of all, the U.S. doesn't keep their agreements, no surprise there. And second, they're pushing for a confrontation. It is the West that is the aggressor, not Russia in this case.
Funny in that movie, too, like Jack Ryan character. He was... In the beginning,
Okay, Mark, I got to put you on hold. Don't hang up. I'm going to come right back to you after these commercials.
Let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Mark in North Carolina. And Mark, could you kind of pick up where you left off?
Yeah, I was talking about that movie, Some of All Fears. Book. And the confrontation with Russia, and even in that movie, Ben Affleck playing the Jack Ryan character, very young Jack Ryan, basically the hardline neocon type around the president. We're calling him a Russia, not Russia friendly, friendly towards that premier, who I'm assuming was meant to be Putin, because they showed the old Russian, that old Russian dying. That was, I guess, was supposed to be Yeltsin. And then the other guy who took over, I guess, was supposed to be Vladimir Putin, and said, oh, he was just being friendly to, I'll say Putin, but it wasn't Putin. I forget his name. But this is almost, you know, Tom Clancy was a brilliant guy, man. This is almost predictable. That's why I like to listen to on InfoWars, Steve Pachinik, because Pachinik wrote a lot of the books some of the books, like the ones not actually called by Tom Clancy, the ones that Tom Clancy shared. That was usually who he shared it with, Steve Pachinik, who does have evidently experience in American intelligence. Wouldn't be bad if you could get him on your show, as a matter of fact.
All right, I might give that a try.
Because that's, he pretty much described it, and we just better be careful. We got to understand something, too. The United States did not really win World War II. Russia took on 80% of the German divisions. And correct.
Yes.
They had a hard time in the beginning. It was a miracle that they won. But they actually destroyed, for all intents and purposes, they destroyed the heart and soul of the German army, including the 6th Army in Stalingrad. That was the same army that rolled through Europe in a blitzkrieg, went into Paris. Well, that they destroyed it. People better understand that. People better realize you got a tiger now. You start with that tiger, that tiger's going to eat you. Plain and simple.
Well, there's another aspect here, and that is, if you go back to your Sun Tzu and the Art of War, in order to prevail in war, a leader has to have basically an army that believes in the moral rightness of the war, so they will fight fiercely and, if necessary, die in that war. And he has to have a civilian population that also believes in the moral rightness of the war, so they will bear the hardships war brings even to the victorious side. The U.S. government has neither of those.
Yeah, well, of course, Russia's being threatened. We're right on their borders, threatening them. They're not threatening us. Oh, sure, the people are going to be riled up, and the troops are going to be totally loyal to Putin and to Russia. I don't think the troops are going to be that loyal to, they'll be loyal to the United States, but not to the government that's sending them into all these wars now and not even doing right by them, by a lot of these guys when they come back.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mark, got to let you go. We got to take a break for station identification. We have other callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.